Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And we are back. It's Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
We're talking about minute 11 through 12.
I just had a real country-ass moment right there. I said Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Tuesday. My country accent slips out sometimes. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Dune, man. Yeah. We got this is a good minute, I think.
I like, or we can just talk all about Banana Ball again.
Well, no, that's fine. I don't think people liked it.
No. Let's talk about Dune. So, yesterday's episode, we left off with a pile of bodies in a little bit of a low spot between some dunes, mm-hmm. and a thumper being activated next to them.
Correct.
Today, we are picking right back up. In fact, the second after where we left off.
Yeah.
Jessica is looking down on this pile of bodies, and we get some more thumper goodness for our ear holes.
Yep.
For a little bit.
I think we've both said this at different times, but that is probably my favorite sound in the movie.
Yeah.
It's just such a great sound.
Yeah. And I think it was last week we talked about how they made the sound a little meatier. Mm-hmm. At least it to me, it seems a little meatier for part two.
Yeah.
We go from this pile of bodies with the thumper to a singular body. We see James to go once again.
All wrapped up to go.
On the ground, and a group of Fremen, you know, kind of reach down, begin to pick up, and Paul interrupts one of them and says, no, let me.
Mm-hmm. That guy looked, he was like, what the like, fuck?
Absolutely the fuck not. To the point where Chani, who's standing on the opposite side of James's body, is just like,
just let him do it.
Yeah. Fucking let the kid on his field trip act like he's one of us.
Yeah, and let the boy help.
And then he's just like, all right, fine. And we're just left there for what feels like about a second and a half too long of this guy just staring down Johnny.
Yeah. Yeah, so a couple things on that. One, even after helping them win this fight that they just had with the Harkonnens,
yeah,
the Fremen have no respect. For Paul.
No.
Absolutely not. To be fair, he didn't do a whole lot to help them. He stabbed one guy and Jessica bashed one guy.
Yeah.
So, helped, yes. Not a whole lot, though.
If anything, they didn't help because they directly refused Stilgar's orders to just stay there.
Yeah, well, they would have got murked if they did that.
Sure. Unless Stilgar had a plan. We don't know.
Yeah.
Because none of this is in the books.
Whoever was manning the pistol that was sharpshooting, that person did all the work.
Well, I would assume that was Stilgar because we saw Stilgar reloading his Mala pistol. So
it could have been multiple of them too. So you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, they
there's multiple shooters. No one can get off two shots from that distance that quickly.
They were behind the. They were on that grassy knoll in the desert.
There's just a random grassy knoll in the desert. Yeah. But yeah,
that lingering shot of the Fremen staring down Chani, I read that as a, I hope you know what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah.
Getting like letting them get involved. We should have killed them.
Why are you letting this little white boy get into our shit?
Yeah, exactly.
This skinny ass white boy is getting into our shit now. Yeah. God damn it.
So, Chani falls in line with the rest of the group. We get another close up of the thumper. Right, yep. After this.
And we get some Shai Hulud action.
Yeah.
This time only 12 minutes into the movie. And I think other than the moment that we saw after the ornithopter crash, after Paul and Jessica, well, I guess PB&J, after PB&J made their way through the Coriolis storm and then crashed the ornithopter.
Yeah.
When you saw the one like worm just kind of like moving under the sands.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably our most peaceful entrance of Shai Hulud.
Yeah, this is
because it just kind of like comes up. It still makes a loud ass noise as it's consuming, but it just like consumes and then goes back into the sand.
Right. This is like Hey, we're not pissed off right now. No, he's coming up. He's
doing his thing.
He's got a little bite to eat. Yeah. It's fine. Everyone's cool. They're watching from a distance. This also looked like a relatively small worm.
Yeah.
Because
compared
okay, so
to what we had seen.
Yeah. So the pile of bodies, I didn't count, but maybe we should have. But if I'm just going to guess from memory, it looked about maybe 7 or 8 bodies wide.
I think in total it was like 15.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they were stacked on top of each other. Yeah. But like that, just that width. And that width was probably a good, you know, 60% of the mouth's or of the worm's mouth.
Yeah, definitely a younger worm.
Yeah, for sure.
It was not the worm that swallowed the spice harvester.
No,
for sure.
Absolutely not.
Little baby worm comes up, has a snack.
Yep, goes back down. And the group couldn't be that far away. I mean, there's a little bit of like some jump cuts in the shots. So we don't know exactly how much time has elapsed, but
probably not much.
No, not at all. But they couldn't be that far away from where this is happening.
I also noticed that the group is doing a horrible job of not sand walking.
Oh, that's been forgotten about.
Yeah.
I don't think we see another instance of sand walking, at least for a long time.
I think it might just be because at the end of part one, at least, they were walking along like a rocky ridge. So like maybe there's something about, I don't know, because Stilgar also says that they're in the deep desert and they're moving away from these rocks that they were at. So
yeah,
I don't know. Probably just a logistical, hey, it's easier if all of you guys walk instead of try and sand walk, and then someone like trips and eats shit, and then we have to redo the fucking shot again.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's. I think I fear that the sand walk is gone by the wayside.
For now.
For now.
We will definitely see much more of it later.
Yeah. Yep. But what we don't see a lot of after this is the desert, because we get a smash cut.
We are away from the orange tint.
Yes. and we smash cut to this huge, huge, really cool looking map.
Yeah.
Like a 3D globe style map in this control room. And there's Harkonnen language, like chanting in the background, which I thought about for a while. Like, I have no idea what purpose it serves. Okay, hang on. You got a smirk on your face. I think you're going to tell us a little bit.
You get to wait till tomorrow.
Oh, damn it. God damn it. All right, so we get this map. It looks really cool. There's a bunch of Harkonnens sitting around it chanting. This Harvey Keitel looking motherfucker.
is standing. I'm glad that I wasn't the only one. Bro, you're reading my fucking notes. Holy shit.
When I saw this guy, because remember, I have not seen this movie in a long time.
Yeah.
And when
it's
I saw
been
that,
about a year for you.
When I saw this guy up on screen, I was like, is that Harvey Keitel? I was like, no way he would have this little bit part in this movie. It is
not. I mean,
it
would be a fun, you know, cameo though.
The actor's name is Anton Valensky.
Okay.
Valensky, excuse me. Anton Valensky. And even out of the Harkonnen makeup, he does look a lot like a young Harvey Keitel. So it was very interesting to me.
Oh God.
But he is clearly the supervisor in this control room or map room or whatever you want to call it.
Yep.
And we get a lot of like sweeping shots of this map. You know, some points are lit up red. There's some red lines. I think we're kind of getting to see all of the different ships that are traveling around Arrakis.
Well, we see the transition of, you know, we start out this new scene with the transition of a white dot turning red.
Right.
Indicating there's a problem.
Yep.
And we, when we see that larger map, there's a lot more red dots than there are white ones.
Yes. Yep.
But yeah, they're in this war room. The attendants are chanting together and watching the map. And I don't know if you noticed, but the attendants all have like their own like technology kind of glued to their faces and everything.
They're kind of like Borgified.
Yeah.
Nice.
Very,
I mean, that's Borg.
Yes. I was just getting a lot of, what's the name that Picard has when he's
Locutus?
Yeah, very Locutus looking. Locutus of Borg, motherfucker.
Yeah, for sure. I think the bald lends it.
Sorry, I was having to like look through my notes for tomorrow on that, but.
It could also be a, the bald is definitely more Locutus. If they had hair, I would say 7 of 9. But that's, that's splitting Star Trek hairs, I guess.
The Star Trek nerds are going to come after me, but I'm not claiming any Star Trek knowledge. Mostly just because I watched it whenever it was on PBS as a kid.
Mm.
And I loved it, but I am not a up-to-date fucking Star Trek nerd like you are.
You gotta get on it, man. Those are rookie numbers. You gotta pump them numbers up.
Or I can focus on my Dune podcast.
That's fine. There's room. There's room in the boat for both.
Yeah, but I have other things that I fucking nerd out about that you don't. So.
Very true. Yeah. Very true. I'm kind of, I think we're stretching a little bit because we're about done with this minute.
We are. And, before we go to the next scene in this minute, because there is one more.
Yeah.
I want to talk about how, so during summer school, we talked a lot about Holtzman. We talked a lot about the Butlerian Jihad and how there was the destruction of thinking machines. But this map in and of itself is not a thinking machine.
No. And that's a clear distinction. We're should
still
probably
kosher as far as like, yes, it is a,
it's a computer
piece of technology. It is a computer. It is projecting a map, but it's not directly making any decisions. It's just taking in information from all of these beams and all of these other satellites. Well, I guess there are no satellites, but maps of Arrakis.
There are no satellites on the southern part of Arrakis.
True. All these maps of Arrakis and everything. It is not a thinking machine is the point of what I'm getting at here.
Yeah. And we've seen this sporadically throughout the first movie.
Sure.
But
this is definitely the largest
scale
computer that we had seen at this point.
Yeah.
Projector.
Well, I mean, I don't know. There's an argument to be made that the ornithopters would possibly be larger than this. Or more technologically advanced than this?
I mean, yes and no. They could just be using like barometric pressure sensors for determining their altitude and everything. I mean,
fair.
The one that's currently in flight school, so you know
I know. I'm just saying, like, that's, usually the avionics stuff is pretty
those
hefty.
Heart mollusks are putting in as much work as they can.
They're organic. They're organic machines, yes. That's a good call, man. The no thinking machines does not mean no computers. It just means nothing that is replacing human functionality with a artificial intelligence.
Now we are kind of, or the Harkonnens at least are kind of pushing boundaries by having their Borgified attendants here, but
true,
they haven't fully crossed.
No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't fully break that convention
that we know of.
That we know, sure. So the camera kind of lingers on a particular part of the map for a little while, at least a couple of seconds. Clearly trying to say, okay, this is an area of some kind of importance, but I could not get anything on screen. Like, clearly we're about to jump to where it's looking at, but I couldn't get any indication from just looking at the map.
I don't know if it was looking at Arrakeen.
You don't think? That's how I interpreted that transition.
Like
it zoomed into a particular part of the map and then we smash cut to the Arrakeen city.
Okay, so I'm looking at this screenshot, or I'm looking at this moment. I don't see, at least from what I can tell from this section of the movie, the kind of flat space in between the mountains that Eric Keen would exist within.
Okay, because
because we do see that later on.
True, but Google something real quick for me. Okay. Look up the map that was in the original Dune books, because they contain a map in them.
Yeah, I know. All right, yep.
So I'm trying to find Eric Keen on this map.
They're looking at Mount Idaho. Duh.
Okay, yeah, so we get the shield wall, we get the Siege, the Haga Basin to the right of that. Eric Keen, okay, is in the kind of the top right quadrant there. I don't know, maybe there's something there that could be a loose analogy. A loose analog, I guess.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like that's one of those things that just looking at it here, there's not enough like distinct features to be able to point out.
Okay.
You do see a lot of like air traffic, and you see the indicators of like, hey, there's trouble here because our our friendly transponders are, kicking off issues.
I took this as a an Indiana Jones style map transition. All it needed was like a red line to follow the path of where they had traveled. A red dotted line appearing on the screen.
I mean, maybe. Who knows?
I took this as it was showing a particular place on the map, and it kind of zoomed in on that. And then we smash cut to the city where we were just looking at the map. That's kind of
the city, which is Eric Keen.
Yes. Yeah. So that's my, shitty filmmaker brain.
I see the vision.
Anyways, but we get to see Eric Keen. Woo!
We do. And the minute ends with some heavy drumming.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Raul Vega.
Okay. Sorry. I was getting ahead of myself. Yeah. Yes, we get some heavy drumming. We get a shot of the city and a title card.
We do. It's, well, at least it starts to fade in.
Yeah.
At the
bit of a title card.
Very end. But we can see Eric Keen, capital of northern Arrakis.
Yep. So that is where we're going to spend at least the next minute or so.
Yeah. In fact, almost exactly
1 minute.
A minute.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, how about we come back tomorrow and talk about Eric Keen?
On a Wednesday show?
On a Wednesday, I know.
Alrighty. In the meantime, if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can do so. We are on BlueSky at DuneMinute.com. You can email DuneMinute@gmail.com. And we'll be back tomorrow talking about some more Eric Keen.
That's right. All right, cool. We'll see you then.
See you later.